Well, that cleared it out. Mercy. I love it. I love it too. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. You know, for me, the thing is, I can say Merry Christmas now because for a lot of years, I just dreaded Christmas. It was no fun for me. It was just, I mean, I believe why we celebrate Christmas, but I just get so irritated with the commercialization of Christmas. And today is Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. Can you picture Mary and Joseph looking around, searching for some place for her to have this baby, the Son of the Most High God? They went to the local motel, knocked on the door. Sorry, you can't come in here because everybody's in town for the census. We have no room for you. Thank God for cowboys. Amen. Down at the end of the street, they found a stable where some donkeys were and some sheep and some cattle that were lowing. And it's in that environment that Mary delivered the greatest gift ever known to man. Today we celebrate, we've been celebrating, but Christmas Eve is a big day. I want to remind you that it's about the greatest event in the history of mankind. I'm ringing up here if that helps you guys back there. The day that so many of us have waited for all year long. My wife Christmas shops all the time. She's always bringing stuff home. She's always laying things up. And this year I asked her, I said, listen, I'm tired of trying to guess what you would like to have for Christmas. For some reason, she doesn't want tools and guns. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all, but apparently that's not what she's been wanting. So I said, listen, make me a list, will you? And so in one day, I went to town, had my little sidekick with me, and we shopped, and we got it done. We got Christmas shopping done, but all the hype of that, all the hype of the shopping, I even wrapped them myself. Yes. With all the hype, the shopping, the wrapping of the gifts, the buying all the groceries for Christmas dinner, decorating the house, decorating the trees, sending out Christmas cards, making phone calls, sending emails, all of that. But what about Jesus? It ain't about Santa Claus. It's not about Frosty the Snowman. It's not about Rudolph and Jingle Bells. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm not ashamed to say so. It's as important for us to tell people about Jesus as it is to buy them something that they'll probably take back anyway. Save your receipts. never fails to make me wonder why we place more importance on the gifts that will rot, rust, and decay than we do on the greatest gift that's ever been presented in a manger that day. Father, I need you this morning. I feel the pressure of delivering the message in a timely manner so that we can get home to our baking and our cooking and to the celebrations that will go on throughout this day. But God, if we can't take a few moments today to hear about the greatest message ever known, to hear about the news that was brought to the dregs, literally, of society. The outcasts of society were the ones that you first sent the message to. And Lord, I'm pretty sure I'd have been in that crowd. So Lord, I pray today that you would help me to preach this message. I pray, God, all around our city, wherever this message is being preached this morning, where your word is being presented, I pray your anointing on every one of those pastors, every one of those speakers today, God. I pray for your anointing on me, and I pray for your anointing in this house. And I pray, God, that you'd cause this preacher to decrease. And I ask you to increase in me as I share your word. And for that, we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. I pray that somebody sits around your table today or tomorrow, or comes into your house today or tomorrow, and you present them. God give you some way, some avenue, some little something that you can give to them that will last for eternity. You're not going to buy it at Walmart or Costco or Bi-Mart. It's already been purchased. You and I have been given the opportunity to dish it out, to hand it out, to deliver. We're the UPS of the gospel. This morning I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Very familiar. Luke chapter 2. I want to start in verse 6. When you get there, would you just stand with me in honor of God's word? And so it was. Isn't that a great lead-in? And so it was. That while they were there, the days were accomplished or completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, say behold. This, I don't think that they had to do anything special. I mean, just the fact that these angels showed up, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid, and before you point fingers at them, I'm pretty sure it would have freaked you out too. I love these verses of Scripture. Can you imagine the glory of the Lord just busting out right where you're at, all around? And here this angel is. And he says, behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. God, I pray you add your blessing, your anointing on, not on your word, but on the delivery of your word, on the message that comes from this passage today. That God would take it out of this place and begin to just deliver this message, just like this band of shepherds did. They spread the good news. They told everybody they could. So God, I pray today that you would allow that to be our role this Christmas. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. The angel Gabriel had announced the coming births of John, and he announced the birth of Jesus. But here a host of angels announces the good news of Jesus' birth, and they break out in exuberant prayer. Can you just imagine that? I mean, on the hills outside of Jerusalem, outside of Bethlehem there, just a bunch of shepherds out there. They're just watching over their flocks. The Bible says they're watching over their flocks by night, and all of a sudden, bam, the stillness of the night is disrupted. How many of you have ever been out in the woods in the dark at night and everything's quiet until you hear a noise? All of a sudden, man, it's like, what in the world was that? I remember one time I went on a hunting trip over in eastern Utah, and I was waiting for my buddies to all show up, and I was the only one there, and they never showed up, and it was outside, and of course I had to have a campfire, and beyond the campfire I could hear this noise. And for the life of me, I mean, I can identify a lot of stuff just by the noise. And I was listening intently, and I was trying my best to understand what this noise was. And it would just, all of a sudden, it would just, bam, you would hear this noise. And I can't even really describe it. And so I went to sleep that night, and I'm wondering, what in the world is making that noise? Anybody with me? Anybody? What, Lord Jesus, man, what in the world? Because it was a noise I had never heard before. And buddy, my spidey senses are up. I mean, I am in tune. I'm praying, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, I'm about to have revival right there in the camp. You know what it was? I figured it out. No, it wasn't even squirrels. It was turkeys. It was turkeys. You want to know something? You ever watched a bird land on a tree limb? They just flutter in there. Sit down. Not turkeys. Turkeys. You ever seen that? That's a riot. They don't do that. They just come flying along. And then they grab something on the way down. Hallelujah, I made it. Because you know what they say, any landing you can walk away from is a good landing. That's where that come from. That's where that come from, because them turkeys, man, and there must have been 100 of them, and they didn't all land together. They, you know, Fred would come in from over here, and old Jake would come in this way, and old Charlie, and they'd slamming into these trees. And here these shepherds are, and they're just out there, and they're watching over their sheep, they're watching over their flocks, and bam! This angel shows up. Hey, I bring you good tidings of great joy. It's going to be for all people. And then, boom, this all of heaven shows up out in the field with all these guys. And I mean, they are having worship. Can you imagine that? Can you just picture that with me? The angel called the baby Jesus, the promised Messiah, and all of heaven broke forth in praise. They could not contain it. I mean, they're sitting up there and they're looking down from above at what's going on down there. And all of a sudden the angel is like, look, I'm bringing you good news. It will be to all people. And the angels are like, we're joining that guy right there, right now. And man, they just showed up. How many of you love it when God just shows up? How many of you just love it when heaven invades our church on a Sunday morning and we just break forth in prayer and we just begin to worship God? See, Luke moves us from the manger to the fields outside of the village. It was at night and the shepherds were guarding all their sheep. It was their livelihood. But among occupations, shepherding was a very, very lowly occupation. I did a little study and I found out some things that the shepherds were the outcasts. Shepherds weren't even really allowed in the city. They were bad guys. They weren't even allowed to come into the city. They weren't trusted by the general public. And often they were thieves. And when I was studying, do you know that the shepherds weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law? Their testimony, they were so untrustworthy that their very testimony would not hold up in court. Why? Because they're a bunch of stinking sheep herders. Contrast that to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming and telling the lowest guys in society, you are going to be my witnesses. You are going to testify of what you've seen and heard here tonight, that Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah has come, and it's up to you guys. Can you imagine that? Kind of gives us hope, doesn't it, Ray? Gives us some hope. God uses these humble shepherds, these outcasts of society, to be the very first human witnesses that prophecy had been fulfilled, that the Messiah had been born. This wasn't just another baby. This baby fulfilled prophecy. This baby was the Son of the Most High God. Luke gives this story about the shepherds for a reason, because Jesus would come not to the proud and to the powerful. He came to the outcast. He came to the humble. He came to those that were considered last on the social list. And these men, God brought the first news of His Son's arrival. Can you imagine that? Luke records that Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds in the field, and these shepherds may very well have been the shepherds that raised up lambs for the offerings and for the sacrifices that in the temple that were performed for the forgiveness of sin. And all of a sudden, the prophecies that have been foretold is coming to pass in this baby Jesus, that no longer are we going to have to sacrifice all of these lambs, because the spotless lamb has come. The Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus gave His life as a ransom one time for all. When you begin to think about things and really begin to ponder them, and you begin to think, why would God send the message to these shepherds? I mean, if you think about it, why would they really celebrate the fact that this lamb that has been born is going to fulfill the prophecy, and now there's going to be no need? You would think that it this is going to affect their livelihood, because there wouldn't be that need anymore. Chances are they could have been very upset. And if he's going to take away the sins of the world, and if he is the Lamb of God, then there wouldn't be any need for all the lambs that they were raising. They could stand to lose a great amount of money, but how many of you know money don't amount to much when it comes to your salvation? But the reality is, that's not the way they responded. The fact of the matter is, they did just exactly the opposite in verses 17 and also in verse 20. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And verse 20 said, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What a birth announcement. What an announcement. The shepherds were terrified, but their fear turned to joy as the angels announced the Messiah's birth. And first the shepherds ran to see the baby, and then they spread the word. Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, has been born. What are you going to be telling people today around your table? What are you going to be telling people? What have you been? Listen, one of the things I love to do is tell people Merry Christmas. Whether they want to say Happy Holidays or not, I tell them Merry Christmas. And if they say Happy Holidays, I say Merry Christmas again. Amen. Just so that it reminded of, really, it's not just about the holidays, it's about Christ. What is a holiday? After the angel gave the great news of God's arrival, and all of heaven showed up and breaks out into praise, and the armies of heaven join in this grand worship service, because the arrival of God's Son on earth causes the armies of heaven to join in the anthems of praise. Do you know that God inhabits the praises of His people? Do you know that when we were worshiping the Lord and we were praising God this morning, God is here in this house. He inhabits. He dwells inside. He inhabits us. Just like we are inhabiting this building, He inhabits us, and He comes into this place. Rarely, you go back and read it for yourself in Scripture, very rarely did more than one angel show up at a time. Very rarely. But buddy, when that announcement was given, they just couldn't help. They just couldn't help it. They just had to join the party. I mean, it was good news. They couldn't stand it. The greatest event in history had just occurred. There's not been, I don't know, I thought about, as I put this line in my notes, that the greatest event in history had ever, and I begin to try and swap places from the pulpit to the pew. And I was trying to justify and bring the argument. Is this really the greatest event in history? What about the resurrection? Wouldn't that be the greatest event? Listen, you can't have the resurrection unless you have Christmas. What about the parting of the Red Sea? What about the walls of Jericho? What about all? Listen, it all culminates in this moment. And it is, in fact, the greatest event in history. Look at the birth of the baby. Look at the conception of the baby. Listen, Joseph did not know, in the biblical sense, he did not know his wife Mary. They were betrothed. They were, for all intents and purposes, they were, in fact, married. But when you're just betrothed, you don't have sex yet because the marriage hasn't been consummated yet. That was coming a year down the road. Joseph knew that this baby was not conceived of him. This was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. This is the greatest event in history. And when the angel told Mary, listen, you're going to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And she's going, man, I'll tell you what now. I might just be a young girl, but I know enough about what's going on that there's got to be something happen. You know what she said? She said, be it unto me as you have declared. I don't know how it's going to work, but okay. I'll submit. Let me just get mean for just a moment. How many of us want to know how it's all going to work out before we say yes? I want to know how it's all going to, I want to know what I'm going to have to do. I want to know what I'm going to have to say. Where am I going to have to go? What is this going to cost me, by the way? Mary said, listen, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but be it unto me as you have said. I just submit myself to the greatest event in history. For ages, the Jews had waited for this. And when it finally happened, the announcement did not come in the temple. The announcement did not come to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. The announcement came to a bunch of stinking sheep herders. Outcasts of society. Jesus said, this message is for you. Go tell everybody. Remember when Jesus met with the woman at the well? That was taboo. He was an alone man talking to an alone woman. She was even a Samaritan. What in the world are you thinking? Well, what I'm really thinking is I've got the greatest message and she needs to know it. And she took what she heard back to her city and in a moment became an evangelist. In a moment, she began to spread the news. The message that the shepherds, listen, fear not is what the angel, fear not. It's one of the key themes of the Christmas story. And literally, the angel says, I announce to you good news and a great joy which shall be to all people. How many is all? All. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All people. He uses the word which means to preach the good news. It's the gospel. A word that Luke uses often in both the gospel and also the book of Acts. And Luke's emphasis is on a worldwide gospel. The good news is for everybody, not just for the Jews. The good news is for all of Myrtle Creek. The good news is for all of Douglas County and all of Oregon and all of Washington and California. But what is the good news? It's not that God sent a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but He sent a Savior. He sent a Savior. The Savior was to meet man's greatest need. The message that He brought was a message of peace to a world that had known much war. Church, there are those of us seated here this morning that have known much war. I'm not just talking about on the battlefield. I'm talking about war in our homes. talking about struggle and I'm talking about strife. I'm talking about uncertainty. Have you ever studied the word peace? The Jewish word shalom? See, when we think of shalom, we automatically think of peace. But what does peace entail? He's not just talking about here. He's not just talking about the stoppage, the ceasing of a truce and in the battles of life. The Jewish word shalom means so much more than a truce in the battles of life, although it will bring that. What it really means is well-being. It means well-being. It means health. It goes on to mean prosperity and security and soundness and completeness. When you're complete, when you're sound, when you're secure, when you're prosperous and when you're in good health, it all relates, it all culminates in this word peace. It has more to do with character than circumstance. The idea of peace has so much more to do with your character than your circumstance. We've got to look beyond the circumstance and recognize and remember, what is my character? My character is in the nature of God. He's put His Son and His Holy Spirit in me. I have a divine spirit living in me. My character ought to measure up to that to some degree. Don't think that we need extraordinary qualifications. Jesus loves you and accepts you just the way you are. But He loves us too much to leave us there. Whoever you are, whatever you do, you can have Jesus in your life. It doesn't matter what your life has been like. Jesus came for you. He came for me. And although our first pictures of Jesus is as a baby in a manger, it better not be your last. The Christ child in the manger has been made into a beautiful Christmas scene, but we can't leave Him there. That whole scene over there, the hay bales and the donkey and the illuminated star and the manger, that's all going away. You won't see that after today. It's going away. It cannot be the last picture that we have. The Christ child in the manger. He has grown. This tiny helpless baby. He lived an amazing life. He died for you and I. He ascended to heaven. And He's coming back, church. He's coming back as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. He will rule this world and He will judge all people according to their decision about Him. What have we decided about Jesus? What have we decided we're going to do with this baby in the manger that grew up? Lived a hard life working as a carpenter with his dad. Those same nails that he'd probably constructed and erected so many structures in his short life were the same nails that nailed him to a cross. Let me ask you this question. Kathy, you might come. Do you still picture Jesus as a baby in a manger, or is He your Lord? Don't underestimate Jesus. Let Him grow up in your life. What will you do with this Jesus? This baby in a manger that came so that you and I might have life. And not just to have life, but the Bible says life more abundant. Man, I'm looking for abundant life in Him. The Bible says that the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have life. As we praise God for His gratitude, we praise Him for what He has done, and it ought to motivate us to witness to other people, to tell other people about what God has done. Have you discovered a Lord that is so wonderful that you just can't help sharing your joy with your friends? Let me tell you something, church. If for years you've been battling with an illness or a disease or cancer or some heart functionality that's a problem and it's ultimately going to take your life, you go for one more appointment. Doctor says, come in here, I need to see you again. So you go, and the doctor says, listen, I know that the last time you were in here, we told you that you're full of cancer. But it's spread. That you're going to end up dying from this disease. I remember we told you that. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe your heart. You know, I've heard so many people say that I've only got like a third of my heart that's functioning correctly. I don't even know how that works. But you go back to that doctor one more time because he said he wants to see you. And you go into that place and that doctor looks at you and he says, listen, I went back and I reviewed all the charts. I reviewed all of the notes. I went back and I reviewed every time that we came together. And I went back and I looked at the tests that were run. They were all conclusive. But I don't know what happened. But as I examine you today, there's none of that. Your heart is just beating like a hammer. It's just pounding away in there. I look at the scans that we took just last week, and there's no cancer in your body anywhere. It's just gone. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden you're reminded, oh yeah, I called the prayer chain. Had the pastor anoint me with oil. They prayed the prayer of faith. They laid hands on me. And right up to the last moment, we continued to believe that God is still in the healing business. And you walk out of that doctor's office, man, and I mean you are walking on cloud number 19. And you are puffed up. I mean, you are so excited about. Listen, you get on the phone on the way home and you start calling people and you start telling them, let me tell you something, man. You know how we were been praying? I've been so sick and I've been so frail in my body and my whole heart just wouldn't hardly beat enough to even get me outside the house without being completely exhausted. Can I tell you? I just feel like I could run home. You know why? Because the doctor just told me I've been healed. I've been completely delivered of all of this. Come on, you tell everybody that story. Can I tell you this morning, I ain't no doctor, but I did spend the night in a Holiday Inn Express hotel one time. But let me tell you what I do know. You have been delivered. If you know Jesus Christ, you have been set free from the gravest disease ever known to man. Come on. Can you just give God? Thank you, God, for delivering me. Isn't that awesome? Now, who are you going to tell about that news? See how quiet it gets? All of a sudden, the rejoicing turns to, oh man. That is so messed up. You've been given the greatest gift, church. You've been set free from the power and the dominion of Satan. He has no dominion. He has no power. He has no authority over your life. Your messed up life has been delivered and set free by the blood of the Lamb. Who are you going to tell? Who are we going to tell? This baby that was in a manger is so much more than an excuse for you and I to go to Walmart and buy gifts and presents and cook a big dinner. This baby in the manger was in fact the way and the truth and the life. And no man goes to see heaven except through Him. Who do you need to tell the good news? Bow your heads with me this morning, church. It is not too late to give the greatest gift ever. It's not too late. It's not too late to receive the greatest gift ever known to man. And this morning, amongst family, amongst loved ones, amongst people that love you and care for you, if you have never accepted the free gift of salvation, if you've never accepted the free gift of eternal life with Jesus, if you've never made a conscious commitment to Jesus, can I encourage you today to unwrap the greatest gift that you've ever been presented with, and that is the salvation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're in this room this morning, if you're watching by way of the internet right now, and if you say, listen, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I want to, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today if that's you. If you're here today, you say, I've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, but I want to. This is going to be the greatest Christmas I've ever had because I received the greatest gift. Maybe you're here today and life got in the road, life got in the way, life happened and stuff happened. Things quit going the way you had planned on them to go. You took a wrong turn somewhere and you ended up down some wilderness road separated from the God that so loves you. And today, this morning, you say, Pastor, if God will have me, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to resurrender my life to Jesus. If that's you today, raise your hand. Yes, sir. Somebody else say, Preacher, that's me. I surrender my life to Jesus. Anybody at all? Anybody else? Come on. I commit my life totally to Jesus today. If you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand and didn't, I'm going to ask you to come.